Welcome to Perfectville, your first place podcast of your Miami Dolphins. This is Sam Marcoux, once again with Christopher Cullen. Chris, how are you this fine day?
Off-season salute to you and everyone in Perfectville. It is great to be back behind the mic.
It really is. The off-season is no longer. We are in the new league year. We're done with our first year with our fantastic three-part Finzies episode where Travis Wingfield and Kevin Dern of WelcomeToPerfectville.com joined us, and we handed out all the awards that anybody, you know, could ever want, and quite frankly, the only ones that people really need. Go back, listen to those. It's a three-parter. We have guest appearances from Travis Wingfield's cat as well as Kevin Dern's dogs. It was a fantastic show. But we're back to our regularly scheduled program here. And this one right here, this is what everyone's been begging for, Chris. This is our take, your take, my take, our take on everything that's been going on with the Miami Dolphins here at the start of the league year. We've had free agency signings. We've had re-signings. We've had contract extensions. We've had people leave. We've had trades. We've had just about anything and everything that you could possibly want. And I'm not even quite sure where to start. Should we start with the re-signing of our own people? Is that where we should start?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest deal to me and to the majority of the fans is the worry of losing some of the key cogs of our machine that Gase has really created. So, yeah, that's a great place to start.
Yeah, and I mean, I think obviously we need to start with the biggest news first, and that is that we have tender Damian Williams with an original round tender, ladies and gentlemen. So our long national
–
that's right. He's back. The biggest news of all time, Damian Williams might possibly come back with his original round tender. Obviously, that is the news. That is the headline. All these other signings and trades don't really matter. But Damian Williams with an original round tender as your restricted free agent du jour. The big news in terms of re-signing our own players, we have quite a few of them. I think number one, first and foremost, is going to be the one that was going to be a free agent, and that, of course, being Mr. Kenny Stills signing a four-year extension, I think worth, $32 million over 4 years. He is officially back with the Miami Dolphins, and Chris, I couldn't be happier with not only re-signing Kenny Stills to play for the Miami Dolphins, but at the rate that, you know, the terms of the contract are super team friendly.
Yeah, you and I and Kevin and Travis were all in constant contact during this entire process. When the legal tampering period started, we were worried about losing him. There was rumors of four teams involved in Kenny Stills and possibly more. And then, of course, the day actually came of free agency, and that was exciting. That was the first real big exciting day since the season ended, and I think it was more exciting. I'm sure you can agree to this, Sam. It was more exciting than normal because of the way we had that season last year with 10 wins and a playoff appearance, the first one in years. So we're all kind of jazzed up and excited. And the fact that Kenny Stills, when that news broke, and not only did he sign, but he signed a team-friendly deal, and he turned down more money elsewhere, and the reasons for it were what we have in store, what the future is, what he sees in this locker room, what he has in a relationship with Adam Gase. And he spoke for everyone and said everyone feels in this locker room he cares for them as people and wants them to succeed. When you hear those things, and we're used to all the bullcrap of our former head coaches that we've gone through since Shula left, it was I didn't know how to feel. And I saw that on the subreddit. The Miami Dolphins as well. There's people that are just kind of like scratching their heads like, we're feeling good. We're making good moves. I don't know what they even think right now. It's unbelievable.
Well, it was the first move, and we're going to go through all of them. It was the first move of keeping our own players, which is something we haven't really done in recent years.
Right.
We've let our core guys go and brought in kind of the sexy big-name free agents and overpaid in some cases, completely just shit the bed with bringing in certain free agents, Mike Wallace, because we've been bad for so long that we had to do that. But now the shoe's kind of on the other foot where we have a preeminent free agent like Kenny Stills who can walk and can go out and get $10-11 million a year from another team that's desperate for wide receiver help, but instead he's going to take $8 million a year from the Miami Dolphins.
Wow.
To stay here, hashtag New Miami, and continue to build what he's been a part of here. It's a fantastic signing. I think it really is puts a stamp on the new era here with Adam Gase, Mike Tannenbaum, Chris Greer, and Stephen Ross heading the helm there of the management team here in Miami. And I mean, I think when we talked about our pending free agents, we originally stuck Kenny Stills around $8 million a year. And then I think during the process, we kind of feared that maybe he was going to get about $12 million a year, mm-hmm. and he was going to be a little too rich for our blood. But turns out we were right originally on whatever podcast that was, Chris. And he is back, and we now have Jarvis Landry, Devontae Parker, and Kenny Stills under contract for Ryan Tannehill to throw the ball to.
Yeah, and it's really exciting because of his youth.
Yep.
And how young he is. We locked him up for a four-year deal, and he can hit free agency again at 28, 29 years old. And I think we talked about that in the previous episodes before the Finzies. And for us to get him and keep him, usually we're paying big money, like you mentioned, Mike Wallace, who actually had success for multiple years with another team. And we paid this big money to bring him in towards the twilight of his career. And to have a guy like Kenny Stills, where Gase really wasn't shy to use him in his offense and really use him as his queen and his chess piece that was going to be the one that gives you the knockout punch and his 9 touchdowns this year, even in a contract year. For Gase to do that and show that and pay it forward and tell him how much of he is in the plans, Kenny Stills paid us back, and it's weird to be the team where he's taking less to stay because he believes in what we're planning in the future.
Well, the weird thing about Kenny Stills is that he was actually – nobody knows this. I'm going to give you guys a scoop. He was going to sign with the Seattle Seahawks, but when they gave him the pen – when they gave him the pen, he dropped it, and he's like, oh, I don't think this is a bad sign. So he flew back to Miami and grabbed the pen and signed it. So congratulations to Kenny Stills, very rich man, and quite honestly gives us a lot of room to sign a certain juice either this season or next before he becomes a free agent. But speaking of people that have re-signed, probably the second biggest news came about a day or two after that, and that was with our top-notch safety, one of the best safeties in the game, Mr. Rashad Jones, signing a 5-year extension with the Miami Dolphins, which might make him a lifer, ladies and gentlemen, depending on if he decides to play at the age of 34, 35 when this contract is up. But Rashad Jones, who'd been looking for a new contract for about a year, management basically told him, go out and prove that you can be the player that you've shown you can be. He did that up until the point where he got injured. According to Rashad Jones, the front office kept their word. They gave him the extension he was looking for, and he's now a Miami Dolphin until his mid-30s.
This is huge, and it's not just for keeping a all-pro Pro Bowl safety that does so many things for a defense, as Kevin alluded to in the Finzies and during their show, of course, our awesome show in the Finalysis that you can find on welcometoperfectbill.com. Not just that, we're not just getting the player, but what we did and how we did it as a front office by, quote, keeping their word. That is something that people don't realize spreads, that spreads to other players, depending free agents next year, to incoming draft signees. People, Rashad Jones talks to people at Georgia and players when he goes and visits his former, you know, his alum, his school. He talks to players that he knows from his time in college or in camps or at the combine that he's kept in touch with that are on other teams in the NFL when they're free agents. And they're like, hey, Rashad, how's that front office over there? And he's like, they keep their word. I got injured and they still extended me and want me a part of their plans for half a decade. And I'm 29. That just shows how much we care and how much we count on these guys, our homegrown talent. And for us to do that and put the ball in his court and say, hey, you're our safety for the next 5 years, that is huge beyond just keeping the player.
Yeah, and it looks like he's going to be paired with yet another battery mate, which we'll talk about here in a little bit, because once we get to the people that we have to say goodbye from Perfectville to, we have some sad news. But we're not talking about sad news quite yet. We're talking about happy news. And speaking of people that we are keeping, we also have to look no further than a restricted free agent, Mr. Kiko Alonso. The Cuban Missile Crisis himself is going to be back next year. They put a first-round tender on Kiko. He's getting himself a pay raise. They're working on a long-term contract as we speak, as you listen, ladies and gentlemen. Kiko Alonso will be back for another year, at least, with the Miami Dolphins, barring some sort of crazy signing with somewhere else where we would then get their first-round pick. But nobody's going to do that. Nobody's giving up a first-round pick for Kiko Alonso. So you can bet that he's going to come back to the Miami Dolphins. Now the question is going to be, A, are they going to sign him long term, and B, where is he going to play? Is he going to play middle linebacker, or is he going to play one of the outside edge rushers? Chris, your thoughts on Kiko Alonso coming back, and where do you think he should play?
I think A, we should keep him, and I'm glad we did. We're sticking to our guns here by keeping our talent, and I really enjoyed the free agency starting and us putting that as a priority. Kiko Alonso, we tendered him for a first round pick. You're right. No one's going to give us a first rounder for that. And if so, we'll take it. But that's not going to happen. Keeping him for this year and keeping him in the building, that way we can negotiate a long-term contract. I believe truly he is in our plans. I think Adam Gase likes that type of player. I think our defensive coordinator likes that type of player that's versatile, that can do multiple things. We're going to get into in a few minutes about who we've added recently that I think is going to really dictate where he's going to play and where he fits in this defense. Armando Salguero, maybe a month or so ago, had a story where Kiko has come out and said he would prefer to play middle, but he will play outside. And that's where some of the fans on Twitter and my brother and dad included, after we signed a certain someone very recently that we'll get into, Kiko Alonso, everybody's saying, oh, no, he's going to be mad. He's going to hold out. He's going to be frustrated. He might have to play outside. And I think they're really taking out of context what Armando said. He would prefer to play middle, but will play outside, a weak side backer, if they ask him to. And I think that'll be the best spot for him.
I do too. I mean, one of the biggest issues I've had with Kiko Alonso is his size, just his actual size. If you watch him on tape, Chris, you've seen it, I've seen it, we've all seen it. When he gets lost inside the interior lineman, he can't shed that block. He can't get himself disengaged from those blockers to either get to the quarterback or tackle that running back. Him playing outside, him playing in more space, I think is going to do nothing but help him. It plays to his strengths in terms of being somebody who can cover out of the backfield, somebody who can actually run and keep up with somebody that's running back. So anything that goes outside, if he gets a hat on the actual running back, if they're trying to run outside, most likely they're going to go down.
Right.
We just need to keep him clean, basically. We need to keep blockers off of him, and it's easier to keep blockers off of him outside than it is inside, as far as I'm concerned. So I think him moving to the weak side would actually be a huge benefit for not only him and his career long term, but for the Miami Dolphins in general.
Well, I think it'll also really put an emphasis on his athleticism to allow him to blitz weak side and change directions on any kind of like a read option or a fake rollout to the weak side on the quarterback, where he can really plant and get there, and he's going to make sacks, cause quick passes and possible interceptions, and really come off the edge there and hit the running back. And I honestly believe it will help our defense as well, having that strength over there with this athleticism, with Rashad Jones back and healthy, able to move him to the strong side, where Kevin Dern alluded to had that strong side B gap or C gap and contain on run plays. So it's going to help our defense in full if he's out there at the weak side, especially if we can upgrade as a strong side linebacker in the draft or as free agency continues.
Yeah, and speaking of free agency, one of our own, once again, that did not even make it to free agency, really. I mean, I guess he technically did, but he re-ups once again with the Miami Dolphins. He's got about as many kids as he has dollars now. And of course, I'm talking about long snapper John Denny. Chris, I thought John Denny was a goner basically because of A, his age, B, he made a lot of money as a long snapper last year, and he's going to make a lot of money as a long snapper this year. But I'm also quite happy to see John Denny back with the Miami Dolphins, the longest tenured player for the Miami Dolphins, quite possibly the longest tenured Dolphin in general. I mean, I think he's been here since Wayne Huizenga was actually owning the team. It's good to see the old man back. It's good to see that he will be once again snapping the ball without even looking between his legs. I'm happy to have John Denny back. It seems like a small minor detail in terms of bringing back your long snapper, but this is a pretty big deal, I think, all things considered.
Well, and I think it's something that it's a common connection that we've been talking about in this show, and it's Tannenbaum and Greer and Gase putting an emphasis on keeping our guys. And if you're going to keep a Miami Dolphins jersey on anybody, on any free agent, it's going to be Denny. I mean, this guy, like you said, has been here since, I think, before the millennium or close to it. I mean, this guy has been on this team for a very long time. He's played with some absolute incredible Miami Dolphins as far as Zach Thomas, Jason Taylor. He's been in the same locker room as these guys. So to keep him in our locker room with a very young roster, showing and proving that your long tenured is not just something that you're a number on a spreadsheet. We're going to actually care about you and keep you here. Seeing 92 running down on punts and whiffing on tackles is going to be exciting to see for the next 16 weeks.
I mean, between John Denny and Ed Perry, I think we've had two long snappers for the length.
The history of the Miami Dolphins.
I mean, I kind of want to be like, hey, John, what was it like being undefeated in 1972? I mean, I feel like he's been here that long, but, you know, I'm glad we re-signed him. We also had some, you know, exclusive rights free agents. We brought all those guys back. We don't really want to spend too much time on them because we do need to get to the actual free agents that we brought in. And I thought it was telling that we signed John Denny and we signed Kenny Stills and we re-signed Rashad Jones because Adam Gase was talking about how free agency makes him sick, right? He mentioned that when talking about Kenny Stills at the combine that, you know, he felt good one day and then he felt like crap the next day with regards to being able to bring Kenny back. And he said, I hate the whole process. It makes me sick. So it doesn't surprise me that the whole process makes him sick that our marquee signing in free agency is none other than middle linebacker Lawrence Timmons, who famously got sick against the Miami Dolphins last year in our regular season game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, just threw up all over the field. He now brings his strong stomach muscles to South Beach to play eight games, well, really seven and one in London, as he signs to be most likely our new middle linebacker, two-year, $12 million, $11 million guaranteed. Lawrence Timmons, welcome to Perfectville.
Yeah, very excited to have this guy. And this is who we're alluding to when we're speaking about Kiko. They're actually not that different in size when you actually look at the stats and Google it. But Lawrence Timmons plays bigger than Kiko Alonso. And that's one thing that Kiko had an issue with watching some of his games with a lot of big runs where we would play that wide nine and Kiko would actually pick the wrong hole. And as you said, got lost in the shuffle there with a bigger, stronger lineman. Lawrence Timmons is one of those guys. If you watch his highlights, he is downhill. He's downhill fast. He's aggressive. He's mean. He's a guy that I've spoken to many Pittsburgh Steeler fans, whether at my work here in Charlotte, North Carolina, there's tons of them, to friends and people I know from South Florida that are Steelers fans. And I haven't found one person yet that is not sour or sick to stick with it about losing this guy, especially to an AFC team that they just played in the playoffs. They love him. His leadership, his tenacity, his aggressiveness on the field is something that you cannot replace. And we're getting him still where he can be productive, and we're really betting on him for the next 2 years with that guaranteed money, and I'm happy to have him.
Yeah, I mean, like as we talked about, sometimes when you have Kiko Alonso playing middle linebacker, he loses his assignment. Well, we're not going to have to worry about that with Lawrence Timmons. The only thing he's going to lose is his lunch on the field. You know, this is a huge thing. If we hadn't filled that hole, if we hadn't put somebody there, I think I would have been sick to my stomach as to what we were going to do going into the NFL season of 2017. But he's there. We no longer have to worry about it. He's a very verbose young man. I was watching some interviews with him, and he just seemed to be vomiting out these words left and right. And it's just a fantastic signing. I think it's and also, if you look at the terms of it, Chris, 2 years, a lot of guaranteed money, right? 11 of those $12 million are guaranteed, but he's got 2 years. And I think that goes to a lot of what we're going to see, a theme that kind of goes interwoven in between all of these signings, which, by the way, shame on me and shame on you. Before we go into free agency even further, we do have to bring up the fact that we also did re-sign Andre Branch, which was
right. I was going to bring him up a little later. I had it on my phone, but I was going to let you kind of go and try to work that in. But yeah, Andre Branch was a big signing and actually a lot of money. But yeah, it actually has come out more recently that he's made a little bit less than they originally reported.
Well, he made a little bit less than he originally reported, and it's structured to be a team-friendly deal. So essentially, yeah, his salary in 2017 is about $3 million, combined with his signing bonus, which is $6 million. That's going to be spread out over 3 years. So his actual cap hit for 2017 is about $5 million, which is not bad. Right. And if you look at how we signed Kenny Stills to a four-year contract, Rashad Jones to a five-year extension, and then you have Andre Branch, another young guy in his 20s, to a four-year or three-year extension. And then you look at the free agency signings that we had from the outside coming in. Lawrence Timmons, 2 years. The guy that we're going to talk about next, Anthony Fasano. Welcome back, Anthony Fasano. Signs a one-year contract with the Miami Dolphins. You start to see what we're actually trying to do
prove
here.
Prove-it deals.
Prove-it deals. And, in fact, some of the trades that we made for some people are going to be basically prove-it deals as well. We'll talk about that here in a little bit as well. But Anthony Fasano, the biggest dickhead there ever has been for the Miami Dolphins. A real quick story. He, Chris Cullen, myself, and a few other friends were at a Miami Dolphins bar called Miami Mike's in New Jersey during the draft 1 year. Chris had his radio show. He was broadcasting live from the bar. Anthony Fasano was set to make an appearance. He showed up, made the appearance with his friends, and obviously a lot of Miami Dolphins fans were there to meet Anthony Fasano. He took pictures and signed autographs and couldn't be nicer to everybody except myself. I was the last guy in line. I purposely waited last, so I figured, hey, you know what, I'm going to be the last guy. I'm going to get a little bit of time with this guy. I can rap with him, joke with him. And he looks at me and says, I'm done. And I was like, what do you mean you're done? I'm the last guy in line. He's like, no more pictures, no more autographs. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me, Anthony Fasano? You sat here and everybody else has gotten an autograph and a picture. You even grabbed one girl's tit. I saw it. It happened. I mean, I would let you grab my tit, Anthony Fasano. I mean, I'm the last guy in line. You can't take one picture with me? And he's like, oh, I'm done. Sorry, bro. I'm tired. And I think I put a curse on him, Chris. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he actually got injured and fumbled week one of that season. And I take full responsibility, and I'm not ashamed of it.
Fortunately, I have great news to say. When I met him in person, like you said, he was nice to me. I got pictures with the guy. He was really friendly. He shook her hand, whatever. But that was fun time in Newark, New Jersey, where you can't ever turn left and you can't get booze after like 6 o'clock in the afternoon. But Anthony Fasano was in person. Welcome back to him. A lot of people are like, well, we lost Deion Sims, which we'll get to. Sorry, spoiler alert. If you're not paying attention, there's no reason you should be listening to the show right now. You already know that. But Anthony Fasano is coming in, and you're like, oh no, you lose Deion Sims. What are we going to do now? And we bring in the number one rated run blocking tight end all of 2016, and that's Anthony Fasano. And fun fact, it was posted on Reddit, but this is kind of cool. He caught Ryan Tannehill's first ever NFL touchdown pass.
Yeah, I think that is kind of a cool stat. And something else to keep in mind, not only is the number one blocking tight end in terms of rushing last year, but I think he was number three in pass blocking as well. So, I mean, this guy has a skill set, and it's not catching touchdown passes, despite him catching Tannehill's first ever touchdown throw. It's him blocking. And if you look at how we are set up to run with Jay Ajayi and Drake and Damian Williams, you need people up front who can block. They can put a helmet on the guy in front of them and seal them off and let Jay Ajayi do his thing. Anthony Fasano does that. And you pair him up with Julius Thomas, who we'll talk about in the trade segment coming up here in a second. And you start to see, not only do we have these short-term prove-it sort of deals, but you also start to see what Adam Gase is doing here and what Mike Tannenbaum is doing here is they're picking up players that have very select skill sets. William Hayes, which we'll talk about here in a little bit, has a select skill set. Anthony Fasano has a select skill set. They're plugging in pieces that are going to fit what they want to fix or continue to improve. And I think it's fantastic. I have no problems with Anthony Fasano coming back. And I also loved his quote. You know, we talked about what Kenny Stills said. We talked what these others said. Anthony Fasano said he is signing with the Miami Dolphins. Get this, Dolphins. He is signing with the Miami Dolphins because he wants to make a playoff and quote unquote Super Bowl run.
Wow.
Now, the only time the Miami Dolphins are making a Super Bowl run is to either host the damn thing at the stadium or if you're playing Madden. But we are in the new Miami, hashtag new Miami, where players are literally signing with the Miami Dolphins because they saw what we did last year. They saw the foundation that was laid. And yes, they say, we want to be a part of this because I can end my career as potentially, possibly, maybe going to the Super Bowl with the Miami freaking Dolphins. How cool is that?
Dude, that makes me feel like $1 million. And he signs a one-year deal to do it. So he understands that Gase is there. He's way past his prime where it comes to like what he's already done and what he's doing. And we are at this point. I was talking to my dad about it. We're talking about, he asked me, what do you want to do at 22 in the draft? And I said, you know what? The cool thing is about our team right now, and we haven't been able to say this for a very long time, Sam, is we can pick guys, like you said, pick and plug these guys to fit the small little needs that we have on this team, because we are a good football team. We have a good coach. We have a good solid base in place. Our foundation is there. We have guys in the big need areas like wide receiver. I mean, there was a time when our starting wide receivers were like Brian Hartline, Devon Bess, and like Legadoo Nene or whatever the hell his name is. We're our three receivers. Now we're sitting here with Parker Stills and Landry, with Julius Thomas and Fasano as our tight ends, with Drake and Ajayi. We have these weapons. We've got Alonzo and Timmons, and Rashad Jones is back, and Howard's in a second year. Lippitt's really strong, and it feels good to be able to just put these guys and actually be specific and pick guys that have special skill sets. Adam Gase has his hands on all of this. I feel like he's a witch stirring the pot, adding small little ingredients to make the big potion that's going to finally overtake the Patriots in the AFC East one day.
I believe you're right. And I think one of the things that I'm noticing too is that these guys are coming in on short-term prove-it deals, which allows us to draft people to develop behind them over the next year or so.
Yes.
Where hopefully when their time is up, when Lawrence Timmons is up in 2 years or Anthony Fasano is gone next year, we have somebody else that we can put in that place and say, all right, we now have their, you know, replacement, and hopefully a little bit cheaper, younger, et cetera, et cetera. So moving on, some other players that we actually signed, a safety, Mr. Nate Allen, who was actually quite a good player for the Philadelphia Eagles. He had signed on with the Oakland Raiders, tore his ACL, played last year, remained healthy, but like most ACL injuries, it takes a couple of years before you're fully back and fully healthy, and this is another one-year prove-it deal. Nate Allen will most likely be your starting safety along with Rashad Jones. These two together, they definitely lift. They don't skip arm day. They could give Jeremiah Bell a run for their money. I mean, these guys are big. They can hit. They know what to do out there. As long as Nate Allen stays healthy, this guy's going to get paid next year, whether it's from us or somebody else. But he is here for the next year, and I like him. I think he's an underrated signing. He's somebody that I think at the end of the year, if he stays healthy, we're going to go, man, that was a shrewd move to pick up that guy, Mr. Nate Allen, and put him back there with Rashad.
Yeah, I love this move. And it's one of those things where he's a hometown guy. He's from Fort Myers, Florida, the same hometown that I was born in. He actually went to my dad's rival high school, Cape Coral High School. So it's really cool to see a guy that was a former second-round pick out of the University of South Florida in Tampa, which is another thing we can discuss later, maybe overtime one day. Why is the University of South Florida in Northwest Tampa? But, from Cape Coral, former second-round pick, like you said, big dude. He has 13 career interceptions, which I believe matches Rashad Jones, or at least not one or two off. And this guy can play, and he filled in for an injured guy last year, like you said, coming off of a very brutal knee injury. So if he can show up and play against somebody, play with somebody like Rashad Jones and a defensive front like we have and what we're building, he can really benefit from that, and he can breathe new life into this. And one thing I like about these small short-term contracts, Sam, is that we are betting on these guys, and we're allowing them to bet on themselves. And when you look at Kenny Stills in the last year of his contract, he gets 9 touchdowns, and we paid it forward and gave him the money to keep him, and he took a little less to stay here. He started a trend, hopefully. And a guy like Nate Allen comes out, and he has a huge year in a contract year. He's going to be appreciative, hopefully, of the Miami Dolphins that gave him a chance to do that and maybe take a team-friendly deal and still get paid. And that's what Stills did. That's what Branch did. And hopefully that's setting the tone to where we're now joining that league of company of the Steelers and the Patriots and teams that always get away with doing that. We wonder how. This is how it starts, and it starts with Adam Gase.
It does. And speaking of free agent signings, again, this one's actually a 3-year deal. This is the one that's a little bit of a head scratcher. This is one where you got to trust your scouting department. You got to trust your head coach. You got to trust your general manager. And that is offensive guard / center, Mr. Ted Larson, which if you haven't seen him, he looks like a Ted Larson and he plays like a Ted Larson. Ted Larson sounds like the guy who does accounts payable at your local, Walmart. I mean, it doesn't sound like a guy that's going to be menacing clearing the roadways for Mr. Jay Ajayi, but he's a little bit of a swing guard. I don't think he's a guy that you are necessarily going to plug in and call a starting guard right now. But I think he's a guy that you can count on to compete for one of those positions. He's been in the league a few years. Nothing spectacular, but I'm going to shrug my shoulders on this, Chris, and say, all right, well, if Gase wants him, he made it a priority to go out and sign this guy early in free agency, so he must see something.
Well, one thing I like about him, and I think it's not a coincidence that Adam Gase likes about this guy, is that he's been durable over his last 7 years. He hasn't missed a lot of time. He's a reputation for being a very feisty guard, and that's something I think you need in a guard, especially an interior lineman playing next to Pouncey and in between Pouncey and Tunzel or wherever he plays, maybe behind Pouncey and James, between, I should say. The one good thing about him is he's versatile. He plays center, he can play left guard, he can play right guard. It's a small level signing. It's not something that, like, I was cheering and hooting and hollering like when we resigned Rashad Jones or we got Kenny Stills to stay, but it's something I think down the line we might be looking back and saying, man, I'm glad we got that guy. It's an upgrade of what we had. It's better than Billy Turner. It's better than Dallas Thomas. It's better than Jamil Douglas, who has a fucking Super Bowl ring, which makes me sick. But Ted Larson, I think, is one of those guys that we're not going to be woohoo throwing a party because we signed him. But I think we're going to look down the line and say, man, I'm glad we have him.
The nipple hair that I just plucked from my tit is a better signing than Jamil Douglas. So, and you mentioned that he can play right guard and left guard, and that's important, I think, as well as center, because A, we have injury history with Mike Pouncey at center, right, as we all know. B, we do need a right guard and a left guard, and the reason why we need a left guard is because Laremy Tunsil, who played that so well his rookie season, is now moving back out to left tackle, which was always the plan. That was always going to be what he is going to be at the pro level. But the reason why he's doing it now instead of last year is that we no longer have Brandon Albert, which turns us over to the trade section of this show. Brandon Albert goes to the Jacksonville Jaguars, where he gets a pay raise to go be injured on their sidelines. We get a seventh round pick, conditional seventh round pick, if I'm not mistaken, in 2018 for Brandon Albert. So goodbye to Brandon Albert. No ill will from me. It was time for him to move on, but he moves on to the Jacksonville Jaguars. We get a seventh round pick in return and in a separate trade, but for the most part, people consider it to be one trade. We actually send our seventh round pick to the Jacksonville Jaguars and pick up starting tight end Julius Thomas, who will now be your pass catching threat from the tight end position to pair with your blocking threat and Anthony Fasano. Chris, what do you make of both of these trades?
It's very low level, low risk, considering we were about to cut Brandon Albert. We actually joked about cutting him four times during the second episode of the Finzies, because it was one of those things. We cut him, and right at the last second, somebody obviously gave us a call and said, hey, hold on a tick. Can you give us an opportunity so we don't have to get in a bidding war for this guy to bring him to Jacksonville? And that's what we did. And really all we did is swap seventh round picks and injured talent. So they gave us Julius Thomas, has a history with Adam Gase and had success with Adam Gase. Is now very healthy, according to him, and injuries won't be a concern for him going forward. So he's obviously Dr. Strange. And then Brandon Albert's going to go to Jacksonville instead of being cut. He gets to stay in Florida. Good for him. I'm happy for the guy. Like you said, no ill will towards Brandon, but Laremy Tunsil is here. And I think the writing on the wall was there. Albert knew it. And I think it showed how much of a pro he was to take Tunsil still under his wing and teach him how to be a solid pro and a solid left tackle in the future. So kudos to that guy. Hope he does well in Jacksonville. But Julius Thomas is a great signing, I think, for us, because if he can stay healthy, that's the asterisk. If he can stay healthy, he has so much success under Adam Gase. It's unbelievable. And hearing him talk after the trade became final, he's in Miami. Our website interviewed him on Twitter and on their page. And you can see him light up when he's talking about Adam Gase. He knows how to use Julius Thomas. He knows how to get the most out of him. And he knows that he can trust Adam Gase to be the guy that's going to put him in the position to score points. And that's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to bring to us. And if we can have it, Ryan Tannehill is probably just leaping up and down right now.
Well, we got so many weapons in the passing game at this point. I mean, if Julius Thomas stays healthy, I think the sky's the limit for him. I mean, if you look at it, he's actually underrated as a blocker, too. I think he was ranked like 30th or 31st in terms of run blocking. The person that was right behind him, Mr. Deion Sims, who just got basically the same contract.
And he was our quote-unquote blocking tight end.
Exactly right. So now you have Anthony Fasano. If he can even do half of what he did last year, he'll be, you know, excellent at it. And then you have Julius Thomas, who can both block and go catch the ball. So I think it's a good combination to have. You pair that with Jay Ajayi. You pair that with your three wide receivers and Stills, Jarvis Landry, and of course Jakeem Grant. And you've got a lot of weapons out there. Yeah. No, obviously Devontae Parker.
One thing with Adam Gase is, and we noticed from last year and his first year with us and in his time in previous in the Bears and the Broncos, he loves mismatches. He loves bringing out guys and causing a mismatch and attacking it big time. That's why there are some games where Landry didn't have a lot of catches, and there's some games Parker was the star. And then there's some games where Stills was the star. He loves finding the weakness of a defense and attacking it with weapons. So the more weapons he has, the more he has to play with. And when you bring Julius Thomas in there, and you can send him down the seam with a linebacker covering him one-on-one, because other guys are worried about Landry across the middle on a drag route and Stills going deep and Parker doing a deep in route. Who do you cover and who do you put there? Defenses just don't have enough players. And Adam Gase right now is loving this, and he's going to get Drake more involved out of the backfield than Ajayi. And that's just one of those things where Gase right now has to be just like giggling like a little schoolgirl, because he has so many weapons.
Well, speaking of schoolgirls, the next guy we traded for actually has the education of a schoolgirl, and that, of course, is Mr. William Hayes, defensive end, formerly of the Los Angeles Rams, dinosaur denier, does not believe that we landed on the moon, but does believe that mermaids exist. So apparently, the Little Mermaid Ariel had more of an influence on him than any textbook he ever fucking had in the in school. But that's fine. That's fine. And I don't really care because this guy is solid against the run. We only gave up a sixth round pick to get him. He's out here on a 1 year contract as we voided the second year remaining on his contract. And if he can get into the backfield and plug the running game up for from these offenses, Chris, and if he can hit Tom Brady in his stupid butt chin, I will personally go down to every museum and steal all the dinosaur bones that are on display to prove William Hayes correct if he can help us get to that elusive Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'll help you with that. I mean, this guy comes in, what a steal. Everybody that, and that's anybody when it comes to grading these types of things, gave us an A or A plus on from what we gave up, which was basically nothing, to a now defense on the Los Angeles Rams that are going from a 4-3 to a 3-4, and Hayes didn't really fit their scheme, so they're really just giving him away at this point. And we bring this guy in who was one of the top defensive ends against a run, something that Andre Branch and Cam Wake struggled with a little bit. So to bring him in and upgrade our depth behind those guys is a huge win.
Absolutely. Massive win. I think it it gives us a lot of depth. And again, going into the draft, which, by the way, you can check out the deep analysis on the draft over on the Finalysis podcast with Kevin Dern and Travis Wingfield. By the way, if you're listening to us on iTunes, give them a 5-star rating and review. Give us a 5-star rating and review. It helps get this podcast out to more Dolphins, helps us get more money for sponsors, which helps us produce more podcasts for you. So you guys see how this works now, don't you? Yes, you do. Thank you very much. But you guys can figure out now that we have a defensive end in William Hayes, a defensive end in Andre Branch. We have Cameron Wake there. We now have a little bit more depth in our rotation, a better depth in our rotation than we had last year with Mario Williams and, you know, Jason Jones and things of that nature. So, again, we can come back and supplement that with some young players that Adam Gase can go draft with his picks and go from there. So I love it. I love that trade. I think it's a perfect sound trade. It's one of those underrated trades that I think during the season, it's going to pay off on a couple of third and shorts where William Hayes is the guy that just stuffs that running back, gets the defense off the field, and puts the ball back into Ryan Tannehill's hands. Now, speaking of that, though, we had some trades. We had some free agent signings. We had some free agent signings of our own that we brought back. But we do need to say goodbye to some people. And we've already said goodbye to Brandon Albert. So, Brandon Albert, goodbye. Enjoy retirement in Jacksonville. Speaking of retirement, very sad announcement. We did have to waive Issa Abdul-Qudus, a.k.a. ISIS, as his neck injury, which at the time, Chris, I thought when he was injured that maybe he would be out for a game, possibly the season, and then it turned out he was going to be gone maybe the 2017 season. It now seems that his career is over. Issa Abdul-Qudus out with an injury. We had to release him, and he has to retire. Farewell to Issa Abdul-Qudus, who I thought played very well alongside Rashad Jones and played very well when Rashad Jones went out. He was the guy in that backfield of the defense that was really keeping everything together, and it just never was the same after he went out late in the season. So very sad news.
Yeah, that's really sad about Qudus. Like you said, he really brought something even when we lost Jones. Jones, he kept us together like a piece of gum, I guess, or a piece of tape that our defensive backfield was really struggling. Maxwell was out for a little bit. Howard was out for a little bit, but he was a constant, and he had a lot of interceptions. He even picked off Big Ben in our original game against them. So losing him was a big blow at the end of the year, and honestly, it is very sad to see that his career more than likely is done, and we've released him.
Yeah, and well, speaking of people who've retired, we've also got to say goodbye to Mr. Jordan Cameron, tight end who didn't really spend too much time on the field with us, but a lot of concussions, a lot of brain injuries. This was basically not a surprise. I think we all assumed that Jordan Cameron was going to be retiring even when he denied it earlier this year. But for his own safety, his own health, and for long-term health, Jordan Cameron hangs it up after, he was in the NFL for a number of years. He had some success a couple of seasons ago. Goodbye from Perfectville to Mr. Jordan Cameron.
Yeah, and he seems to be okay with it. I mean, if I follow him on Twitter, and he's retweeted a couple of stories that have been written about his time and the reasoning for his decision to retire. He had a couple of bad concussions in Cleveland, real bad. And obviously he had one here, and he's decided to hang it up. I was excited to see him in Adam Gase's offense. I think he would have been a big weapon for us. And honestly, Julius Thomas might not be here if Cameron was healthy last year. But nonetheless, he had some issues with drops early in camp and preseason, and now he's decided to move on with the next phase of his life, and we wish him luck.
Nothing but the best. And you mentioned Twitter. You can follow us on Twitter at Perfectville Pod. You can also follow Chris at ChrisC561 or myself at Tiger Clomedy. You can find all of those links in the body of this email, or of the email, of the description of this show. Speaking of email, you guys can email us PerfectvillePodcast@gmail.com. Chris, any other moves that I am forgetting right now that we need to bring up, or did we hit on most of the major ones at this point?
I think we hit on most of the major ones. One thing that's been exciting is that we're not done. And if you know Mike Tannenbaum, I don't think he's done. We're continuing to discuss a long-term contract with Kiko Alonso. There's rumors that we're discussing a long-term extension with Jarvis Landry, so we don't even get to free agency next year. So those things are still spinning. We got a text from Travis just now, who is, of course, the host of the Finalysis podcast. That's a sister station here with us, with Kevin Dern, that Poe is actually on his way right now for official visit to the Miami Dolphins. He's traveled to many teams. Atlanta, I think, was the last team he was just at. Getting him would be insane. I've already seen current NFL running backs and quarterbacks say that if we added Poe to our defensive line with Sue and Wake and Branch and Hayes, that they would not show up to play that day, tongue in cheek. But of course, that's a scary, scary thought for everybody, not the Miami Dolphins. We were add him to our defensive line.
What makes sense too is Dontari Poe was actually looking for a prove it deal.
One year prove it deal. Yep.
Well, look, man, come to Miami. We are here. Nothing is guaranteed beyond a year. That's why all the senior citizens are down here. Come down here, Dontari Poe. 1 year. He can also play fullback for you as well. So
throw a pass too if Tannehill wants to go out to receiver and relive the old days. Because like anybody will tell us, playing collar commentator for us, Tannehill used to play quarterback in college. Don't know if you knew that. Getting Poe would be insane.
Also played wide receiver, which is what you meant to say, but
sorry. Had this great joke and completely ran off with it. Poe had a touchdown pass last year, I think, against New England, if I'm not mistaken, in a blowout win, and probably the last game the Patriots lost in like week 4. But getting him would be insane, and a prove it deal. That's just one of those things. Again, I want to give props to Mike Tannenbaum, who, like, not unlike Stephen Ross, a lot of people hated on him for the orange carpet and bringing in Fergie and J-Lo as part-time owners of the team or what have you. I truly believe Mike Tannenbaum benefited from getting fired in New York and becoming a coach agent. And he was able to see these guys and what they go through and what they need to be successful. And he has brought that back to the team now in the Miami Dolphins, who knows how much strong-armed he was with Rex Ryan, who was having success at that time, that has a big ego. Maybe he was coming in saying, I want to pick the groceries. Tannenbaum seems to be doing all the right things here in Miami, knock on wood. So big shout-out to that guy right now.
And real quick, not that we really care, but every time I look at Mike Tannenbaum, I just picture that is a dude that wears tidy whiteys that he hasn't updated since about 1994. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's coming off the band a little bit here on the sides, and, you know, it's not quite white anymore. It's a little bit gray from, you know, maybe getting mixed in with the dark clothes here and there. I feel like he's a tidy whitey guy. I mean, do you look at him and see anything other than tidy whiteys?
Yeah, a little bit more, honestly. I see tidy whiteys, a white wife beater, and like long black socks. Like, and he's just itching his stomach, drinking coffee in the morning. I can see that.
Yeah, like, I feel like, you know, he sits there by himself in his tidy whiteys, reading the newspaper, drinking coffee, going, what can I fuck up today? But apparently that's not really happening anymore in Miami. I agree. I think, you know, we praised him ad nauseum. Hashtag Lawrence Timmons, here on the show, Perfectville, and rightfully so. I mean, the guy's been very well here with Miami, but that's it, man. We have free agency. We're well underway. We're gearing up towards the draft. You guys can check all that out on the Finalysis podcast with Travis Wingfield and Kevin Dern. You can also check out their blogs, Right Travis Right, as well as Ronan's Ramblings, which is Kevin Dern's spot, as well as, what is his name? You hired him there.
Lazaro Montecruz. Yeah, he's doing great things, man. I love his stuff. He's doing great. So much detail and in depth. It's fun to read.
Yeah, Lazaro Montecruz, household name for me, Jesus Christ. Sorry, Lazaro, but he's got the deep dive, another one of our bloggers over there on welcometoperfectville.com. Chris, should we hit the wheel of whatever? I kind of like spinning that wheel.
Love it. Let's throw this around, baby.
Wheel of whatever!
So let's, before you spin that thing, for those that don't know, we started a new thing here called the Wheel of Whatever, and it's where basically one of us, if not both of us, will grab the wheel, we'll spin it, and whatever topic it lands on, it could be Miami Dolphins, it could be AFC East, it could be just anything NFL in particular, we'll talk about it for a couple of minutes, because why not? There's other things that are going on besides the Miami Dolphins. You guys are football fans out there. You want to know what's going on in the world and figure out what we think about the other things that are going on in the world, right? Right. So this week, why don't we just spin it once, and Chris, why don't you go ahead and give it a tug there, and let's see what it lands on.
Awesome. I've been working out, doing a lot of curls, ready for this. Here we go.
Whoa. Yeah, you put some stank on that. That's going to go for a while.
I can smell it from here.
Yeah, my
lord. All right. Coming down slowly. Oh, man. I'm so excited it landed on this. Brock Osweiler is traded. Basically, money balls in the NFL. Brock Osweiler is traded to the Browns. They take on his contract and get given a pick as well with his trade. What do you think about this? Is this a new era of NFL franchises and how they run their front office?
I mean, the Houston Texans literally paid the Cleveland Browns $16 million. Well, I guess the Browns paid $16 million to get a second round pick. And oh, by the way, this piece of shit named Brock Osweiler is going to come with him. Brock Osweiler is going to deliver the pick himself, I guess. Hopefully he doesn't get fumble that pick along the way. Yeah, this is, I think the best thing I saw on Twitter was that, if you guys remember, Paul DePodesta, former general manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, is now running the Cleveland Browns. So you have a baseball guy running a football team, and they just executed a basketball trade. I mean, this is what they do in the NBA, where if you want the pick, you have to take on the bad contract in order to make it work for both sides. So, yeah, this is very, very strange. I mean, you don't see player trades too often in the NFL, but in this case, you still don't, right? Because there's not one player that was traded here between the Browns and the Texans. But nonetheless, Brock Osweiler, oh, how the mighty have fallen. He went from being a Super Bowl champion and the heir apparent to Peyton Manning to cashing in huge over in Houston, losing his job to a guy that they plucked out of the stands, essentially, and now he's playing for the Cleveland Browns. I mean, 2 years ago, he was in the Super Bowl, and now he's out of the league. Makes no sense to me.
Yeah, it's crazy. Him and RG3 are just this anomaly of quarterbacks. When you look back and think of Brock Osweiler and where he was and where he was going to be the next big thing, he was the heir apparent to Peyton Manning. He just needed his time, and he surprisingly, at the time, signed with Houston and didn't even like allow the Broncos to try to match. I don't know if he knew the writing on the wall, because the common denominator here is Brock, because supposedly he got into a literal physical altercation with Bill O'Brien, the head coach of the Houston Texans, who is not a smooth, soft-talking, nice guy, if you've watched Hard Knocks or know anything about this guy. So I can see where their egos might have flared up, and things might have been said, and it got physical, and Brock had to go, and they had to literally pay the Browns to do it by giving them a second round pick and just taking his contract and getting the hell out of there.
Yeah, I mean, if Bill O'Brien and Brock Osweiler are getting into a fight, I'm taking Bill O'Brien, by the way. I think Bill O'Brien would beat the shit out of Brock Osweiler.
I mean, like, not even close. Like, he'd take him to Pound Town.
Yeah, I mean, he would Cleveland Brown his pants after hitting him in the face multiple times. I mean, Bill O'Brien, don't fuck around, man. That guy just looks like he's ready to beat up everybody and anyone at any time. So, yeah, I thought it was a little bit odd, but you know what? So goes it. Brock Osweiler is the reality show of the NFL for me. I mean, I just like watching where that guy goes. Everything he does, I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. Let's see how it works out.
And, well, I think the funniest thing to me was that the rumors immediately after the trade where Cleveland was looking to trade him, because that reminded me, I believe it was like a Scott trade commercial where the guy was at an auction and it's like, going once, going twice, sold to the man right there. And he stands up and he's like, all right, I'd like to go ahead and sell it now. And the commercial was like, you don't sell your stocks immediately when you buy them, so why would you do it like this? And that's what I was reminded of with Brock Osweiler. Oh, cool, we got Brock. All right, who wants to trade for Brock? Like, they immediately just sent a memo out to the other teams other than Houston that he was available for trade because they don't give a shit about him. They just wanted the pick.
Yeah, it's like a baseball card. They traded from one to the other. It would be hilarious if he somehow managed to get back to the Houston Texans after being traded 17 more times this offseason. But speaking of the offseason, it is officially behind us. We are now in draft season as well as free agency season, ladies and gentlemen. And you can get all of your news and views here on Perfectville, along with Chris Cullen and myself. You can also check out the Finalysis podcast with Travis Wingfield and Kevin Dern. And, oh, if you go to welcometoperfectville.com, there's an Amazon link. If you assholes would click on that so that we don't lose our sponsorship, okay? We don't have a lot of sponsors. We want sponsors. We want people to give us money so that we can continue to do this shit for free. And in order to do that, we need you guys to click on that link, buy all your stuff at Amazon.com, just like you normally would. No hidden fees, no extra charges. Just by clicking on that link, you go buy whatever it is you need to buy, and you get a couple dollars sent back to the Miami Dolphins' best podcast out there. It's perfectville.com. Welcome to Perfectville. Whatever our website is, I don't know. But anyway, that's it. I don't know how to end this, Chris, other than to say, unless you got anything else to say, why don't we just say goodbye from Perfectville?
Goodbye.
From Perfectville.
Later.
Perfectville.